This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. Our hour of crime stories begins with Jeff Regan, investigator this time. We'll hear The Man with the Key, his episode from October 2nd, 1948. Then it's Candy Mattson, Yukon 28209, and Jack Frost, her episode from December 10th, 1949.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Man with the Key.
A block above Wilton on Hollywood Boulevard, there's a street they call Taft. It isn't very long, about 48 palm trees and a couple of bad sewers. It figures that the guy who laid it was nearsighted. He didn't see the hills three blocks away. Got kind of a tired look, like an old lady who's been moving furniture. There's a dirty gray apartment house on the right-hand side of the street. That's my place, 308. A low ceiling and a leaky faucet, a telephone that rings at the wrong time. It was last Monday night, about 11 o'clock. I was in bed listening to the party next door when it rang. It was the Lion.
Regan, get your clothes on.
That the way you sleep?
You're going to be busy. We got a new client.
Well, tell me all about it in the morning.
Special messenger came to my place 15 minutes ago with a C note.
Any good?
It was from somebody named Dora King.
Who's that?
That's what you're going to find out.
I can see better in the daytime.
She's waiting for you right now.
Oh, yeah.
At a place on La Brea called The Southerner.
Should I take my banjo?
Don't be funny. She wants to talk to you, so get over there.
What does she want to talk about?
How would I know?
Well, don't you ever check into things?
That's what I pay you for.
All right, where's last week's salary?
You'll get it.
When?
As soon as I find out if your expenses were legit. Now get busy.
That all?
No, call me right after you've seen her.
Why?
I want to know what's what.
You mean you want to know if she can afford more than a C note?
You're getting out of line.
That's what they told Gypsy Rose Lee. Well, I got over there about 11:30. Turned out to be a small place, long on the shadows and short on the whiskey. There was a bald-headed guy playing a piano in one corner. I guess he'd been inside for a long time, because he'd never been out for a music lesson. The bartender was the only other guy in the joint. His name couldn't have been Dora King. So I went to work on a straight shot and waited. Two drinks later, a girl in a black dress walked in. She took in the piano player and the bartender and me. I won. She started toward me with a slow, easy kind of a walk, like a panther looking for breakfast. When she oozed onto the stool beside me, the bartender got damp all over. The air conditioning wasn't doing him any good.
What'll it be, miss?
Make it the same as here.
Okay, bourbon and water.
Got a match?
Yeah.
Got a cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
Got a name?
Maybe.
I'll bet it's Regan.
All right, you got that much.
My name's Dora King. I'm sorry I'm late.
You ever on time when you meet a guy?
No.
Your money. You can spend it any way you want.
You always this nice to customers.
I don't get paid to be nice.
What do you get paid for?
Have you got a story?
I haven't had my drink yet.
Hey, you!
Coming up. I'm jet propelled. Here you are, miss. Hey, hot night, ain't it?
You waiting for the weather to change?
It ain't gonna change in here, brother.
What's your first name?
Jeff.
I don't like it.
Neither do I.
I'm going to call you Regan.
All right, let's start calling.
Have you got a license?
Covers up a hole in my wall.
Mm-hmm. Have you got something that says you're what you say you are?
All right, here.
The Lion's Eye. 6 feet, 170. Brown eyes. You fit?
Yeah, I got a mole on my left shoulder.
Let me feel. You pass.
Okay, you won the toss. Let's kick off.
Well, this isn't where we play. We'll go in my car.
Where?
You'll find out when you get there.
Maybe I won't like the field.
You trust me, don't you?
No.
Good.
Fill her up again.
We're just leaving.
Floor show starts in a couple of minutes.
That piano player going to be in it?
Yeah, he's my brother. He's going to play something he wrote himself.
Any good?
Stinks. Maybe you better go.
Well, the bartender was pouring himself four fingers awry and about a fingernail of water when we walked out of there. We climbed into a big Nash convertible, parked in front of the place, and headed for Santa Monica Boulevard. Then we turned east, past Western, down to Vermont, and south to Marathon. All at once, we were climbing a hill on a dark street. That gave us a view of the city. 20 years ago, a real estate broker might have had something, but now it was just an old neighborhood with a sad look, like a toe dancer with a short leg. Nobody said anything, and I was beginning to have a feeling that maybe she'd forgot her compass when she slowed the car down. She pointed to a two-story house in the middle of the block, and I nodded. Then she shoved the car in second, and spun around the corner and came to a stop. I got out and walked around to let her out. She didn't move.
End of the line.
Short fare.
Time for you to go to work.
What kind of work?
The white place back there, 3936. You saw it?
It came through.
It's a boarding house.
I already got a room.
On the second floor, number 10. Knock twice.
Prohibition's dead, lady.
There's a man there. His name's Bender. Ben Bender.
It'll wake him up.
He's expecting you.
You're quitting?
My job's finished. You're the new help.
Well, what do I do?
He'll tell you.
That all?
One thing more. Come here.
Part of my fee?
That's extra.
I don't generally get tipped.
Just for luck.
You act like I'm going to need lots of it.
You are.
When do I see you again?
You don't. Goodbye, gorgeous.
I stood there and watched her drive away, and then I noticed it. Somebody in a black coupe coasted around the corner, kicked into high gear at the bottom of the hill. I kept watching, but whoever it was hadn't read the traffic laws lately. He didn't use his lights for two blocks. Oh, it registered. He was on a tail job, and Dora was nice to tail. ...3936 Marathon. Inside, it smelled like stale beer and rotting wood. Room number 10 was at the top of the stairs. The door was already open. A thin guy with a hungry look was sitting on the edge of the bed. He was all bones. He didn't get up when I came in. He just kind of looked at me, and his eyes were full of water. All of a sudden, he pulled a bandana out of his pocket and began coughing. You're sitting in a draft.
All my life. You, Regan?
A girl with warm lips said I'd find you here.
Thanks for coming. Sit down. just got back from a trip.
Up north?
Yeah.
Sanitarium?
State said I needed a cure.
Did it take?
What do you think?
You're still coughing.
The doctor said I could go. Even give me a going-away present. $10 and a suit of clothes. It's a bum rap.
That's what they all say.
Who I am?
Ben Bender.
Big Ben Bender. Does that mean anything to you, Pilgrim?
Must have been before my time.
Yeah? How old do you think I am?
I'm out of practice.
I look 60. And I'm 45. That's what 7 years in a sanitarium will do.
You ought to get a specialist.
Already got one.
What's his name?
You.
No, I'm only an intern.
You'll do.
All right, what do you want?
When the guy goes up there, he makes a lot of friends. And a lot of enemies. Sometimes you can't tell one from the other.
Does it make any difference?
Big Ben don't trust nobody.
No, what about that girl?
Dora? Forget her. Her job's done.
That's what she said.
See this key?
Yeah.
I wear it around my neck. I won it for 7 years. You'll wear it for the next 7 hours.
Why?
Them friends and enemies I was telling you about.
What does the key fit?
My safety deposit box at the American Security Bank. You meet me there. Tomorrow, the 10.
What if I oversleep?
Stay up all night. I'll pay for the no-dos. Just be there.
After that?
And your job's finished. It's the softest dough you ever made.
Look, now, you kept this key 7 years. Why can't you keep it for 7 more hours?
My business.
What's in the box?
My business.
Okay. Any of those friends or enemies drive a black coupe, white sidewalls?
I don't know. Why?
My business. I left him sitting there. He looked as happy as a sword swallower with the hiccups. Well, I put the key in my coat pocket, but it felt hot, like a dynamite stick with a short fuse. If Big Ben had been holding it for so long, somebody else might want it. Maybe somebody who drove that black coupe. Well, I went out the back entrance, walked down an alley, and doubled over 5 blocks to Vermont. I stopped a cab, and I had him take me over to the Lion's place. It was 2:30 in the morning when he opened the front door. He was wrapped in a bathrobe big enough to keep all the silkworms working overtime.
What do you want, Regan?
Information.
You've been drinking?
I've been working.
What kind of work?
Well, I got a key.
That all?
That's what they say.
Who's they?
A con named Bender.
Ben Bender?
That's right.
I thought he was doing a long run up in Quentin.
Well, he's out now.
Where does Dora King fit?
Taxi service. She took me to Bender. He gave me the key.
Let me see it.
All right, here.
Safety deposit box.
That's right. Nurse made to a hunk of metal until tomorrow at 10.
What then?
Well, I meet him at the American Security Bank and turn it over to him.
Well, do it.
Now, look, Big Shot, this key's hot.
What makes it hot?
Whatever's in that box.
What's that?
How should I know?
Find out. You got the key.
You got the client.
Now, just a minute.
Somebody waves a greenback at you and you think it's a rainbow.
That's enough.
Oh, stop it, will you? It's another bum client and you know it.
Let me worry about that.
If Ben held that key for 7 years and won't hold it now, he's scared.
What's he going to be scared of?
Somebody else who wants in on the
play. So what?
I'm holding the key. That makes me the clay pigeon.
You're getting paid for it. Just be there tomorrow at 10. Alive.
Well, I left the Lion and went out to the street. Nobody was there. I hailed a cab and he let me off in front of my place. Nobody was there. I opened the front door of my apartment. Nobody was there. It began to feel like a good bet for the Lonely Hearts Club. It was a good feeling. I sat up all that night waiting. Nothing happened. I felt about as popular as a bald-headed chorus girl. Nobody made a play. It was 5 minutes to 10 when I pulled into the parking lot next to the American Security Bank. The car next to me was a black coupe with white sidewalls. It could have been the same one that tailed us the night before. But then I figured there's a lot of cars in L.A. like that. But I leaned in and I looked at the registration. This one belonged to a guy named Al Spandy, who lived in Van Nuys. I wrote the address down and walked into the bank. A guard in a blue uniform waved me downstairs to the safety deposit boxes. It was 10, and still nothing happened. I began to feel kind of relieved, like a flagpole sitter when the wind died down. Big Ben hadn't showed yet. The only one there was a blonde sitting in a glass cage in front of the vaults. She looked at me, and I began to wonder what she did on her days off.
Good morning. May I help you?
Yeah, I want to see if the rent on my box has been paid. Here's the key.
Mm-hmm. 60B. Just a minute. I'll take a look. 60B. 60B's all paid for.
Well, I guess my partner must have taken care of it.
This isn't a joint box. You're the only one who can get into it, Mr. Bender. Would you like to go in now?
No, I'm waiting for somebody.
We're all waiting for somebody.
I'm waiting for a man.
So am I.
Been waiting long?
Years.
Here?
Yes.
Better places to wait.
The ones with money keep coming here. My name's Claire.
I'll remember that.
Will you remember this? Granite 3408.
I'll try it on my phone.
When?
As soon as I get a spare nickel.
I'll give you one.
Well, you'll run out of them that way.
That's why I work in a bank.
Kind of hard on the depositors.
Your friend's late, isn't he?
I can wait.
Maybe he forgot. You should have tied a string around his finger.
No, lady. He already had one around his neck. Well, she went back to copping nickels, and I sat down in one of the plush chairs and waited. 10:30 came, 11 came, Benda didn't. I began to get an uneasy feeling, like a bubble dancer with a slow leak. At 11:10, I couldn't take any more waiting, so I left to head for Benda's place. Outside the bank, a thin guy with a sharp head was hawking papers. I slipped him the nickel that the blonde had given me, and he handed me a Daily News. I wanted to see what a horse named Larry R. had done at Belmont, but I didn't get beyond the first page. Benda's picture was there, right next to Governor Dewey's, only Ben wasn't running for office. They found him in his room full of bullet holes. I guess he finally got a cure for that cough. I took my car out of the lot and headed for home. I mixed myself a tall one, and I was just getting to the bottom of it when a couple of guys kicked my door open.
Regan?
Yeah.
I'm Lieutenant Anderson, homicide. This is Sergeant Pennelly.
Hiya.
Don't you guys believe in knocking?
My knuckles are sore. Nice stuff.
Well, help yourself. It's out in the kitchen.
Don't drink on a job.
Pennelly?
Me neither.
Your boys should have told me you were coming. I'd have called some girls.
Not on a job.
Pennelly?
I got a wife.
All right, Regan, find your hat.
What for?
Well, you want to look nice. We're going downtown, you and me and Pete. Right, Pete?
Right, Andy.
No, it's too hot there.
We thought of that. We'll give you a nice, cool place, won't we, Pete?
Sure will, Andy.
You got a warrant?
No, we just figured you might want to tell us why you did it.
Did what?
Tell him, Pete.
Knock off Ben Bender and burn his feet.
You're out of your mind.
Now, Regan, we know you saw Bender last night. We know you got out of a car on the corner and walked up to his place. We know you were the last one to see him while he was still alive.
You got a witness?
Pretty one. A girl told us.
Oh, you're trying real hard, Anderson, but you haven't got anything.
If you were the last one to see him alive, you're the first one to see him dead. That's how we figured.
Did you figure on a guy named Al Spandy who drives a black coupe?
I never heard of him.
And how about a dozen other hoods who knew Bender?
Now you're trying hard, Regan.
You haven't even got a foundation.
We got the whole building.
It'll never stand up.
We'll see.
All right, you tell me why I did it.
You private eyes get folders on bank jobs.
I get them from Charles Atlas, too.
Bender was in on an $80,000 heist 8 years ago. He went up for carrying a concealed weapon, but the money was never found. You know that the Imperial Bonding Company's offering $5,000 for the recovery of that dough.
A lion.
Don't make any dates tonight. You're not going to be available.
All right. The lion will tell you I was working on a case when I saw Bender.
Oh, we already talked to the lion.
Well, what did he say?
He says he hasn't seen you for 5 days.
You are listening to the story of the man with the key, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. Commissions are still available in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve. If you were a graduate registered nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, you may be eligible for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps section of the Regular Officers Reserve. These commissions are still available, and those who meet the high standards and qualify may elect active or inactive status. Those who request inactive status will continue with their civilian nursing duties but stand ready to serve in time of emergency. Nurses who elect active duty become commissioned officers in the regular Army. If you believe you qualify for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now back to the story of the man with the key and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Well, I had about as much chance as a violin player with no chin. Anderson and Pennelly took me down and locked me in one of the rooms upstairs. They didn't ask any questions. I guess they figured they had enough answers. Oh, it was a real nice fix. A dame named Dora King takes me to a con named Ben Bender. He slips me a hot key and says, meet him in a bank at 10. I'm there on time, getting the phone number of a blonde named Claire, only Ben doesn't show. Somebody burns his feet and fogs him before he can keep the date. And then there's that black coupe registered to a question mark named Al Spandy. And then the lion deals one from the bottom. Oh, it was a screwy picture, and I was right in the middle of the frame. Well, I spent the next 4 hours taking in some free entertainment from the drunk in the next cell.
Okay, Regan, on your feet.
Bastille Day?
You sprung.
Well, I was getting tired of the floor show anyway.
Try and make it Saturday sometimes. That's our big night.
Hard if I bring a date? That guy ought to be at Ciro's.
Where do you think we picked him up?
Regan, I'm running out of patience with you. How many times have I told you to keep out of trouble?
Why didn't you tell him I was working on a case?
I went to a lot of trouble to get you out.
And you went to a lot of trouble to get me in.
That was easy. Still got that key to Bender's safety deposit box?
I got it.
Tomorrow morning at 10, you're at that bank getting into the box.
You're crazy. It's in Bender's name.
I'll teach you how to spell it.
I won't do it.
Homicide might like to know you got that key. Now you listen to me and we'll both make dough.
Where I'd be, I couldn't spend it.
If the 80,000 bucks from the bank job Bender pulled happens to be in that box, like I think it is, Imperial Bonding owes us $5,000 reward.
I don't like it.
You owe it to the company.
Now listen, you. Bender was knocked off for this key. Whoever wants it might make another try.
Nobody knows you got it.
Well, I'll give it to you and nobody will know you got it.
Regan, I'm giving you a chance to straighten yourself out.
That's right.
What do you mean?
I feel stiff already. Well, it was a triple play. Homicide to the lion to the black coop. I went home to wash off some of the jailhouse Lysol. When I walked in the front door, I had company. A gray flannel suit with a yellow tie was sitting on the edge of my bed. Both hands were full. The whiskey was mine. The gun was his. When he saw me, he set down the bottle and walked over and put the gun right against my neck. It felt cold, and I got kind of nervous, like a hula dancer in a forest fire.
Hiya, Regan. Been waiting for you.
You like my liquor?
I'm a rye drinker myself.
Well, bring your own next time.
That ain't being sociable.
You weren't invited.
How could I have been? You don't even know me.
You're Al Spandy. You drive a black coupe.
What'd I have for breakfast?
Egg, and it's all over your tie.
You look hot, Regan.
You have to hold that gun there.
Right there.
Same one you used on Bender?
The same. All right, now gimme, Regan.
I told you, I don't have any rye.
Where's the key?
I don't use one. My door's always open.
I'm talking about that key you got from Bender.
I don't have it.
Do you hear any music?
Yeah, but I'll sit the next one out.
No, you won't. This is a men's cheat.
I'll step on your toes.
I don't mind. It's a polka, and I want to do it with you.
Oh, it was a long dance, but Spandy didn't get tired. I knew I wasn't going to last the evening out. And then I saw Dora King standing in the doorway back to Spandy. She was taking everything in like a Hoover vacuum cleaner on a dirty rug. She had a .25 in her hand and she knew how to use it. Thanks for cutting in, lady.
I had to do it. He was killing you.
Yeah, I'll take the gun, huh?
You know I'd have to do it.
Yeah. Here. Go on, drink it.
Oh, yes.
Now, you want to tell me all about it?
Yes. I wanted to tell you at first, but Ben wouldn't let me.
He's not around to stop you.
Do you think Spandy hurt him much before he killed him?
I wasn't there.
He was sick. He couldn't have taken much.
Why'd you tip the cops on me?
I thought you might have done it. Now I know different.
Tell that to Homicide.
I will.
You better. Spandy can't.
He's dead?
That's right.
You still don't trust me.
No, I don't.
I couldn't help myself once the gun went off. Big Ben was my father.
Yeah?
He didn't want anyone to know. All he wanted was to give me a break.
Why'd he hire me?
He was afraid.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Regan?
Yeah?
May I have the key?
I haven't got it.
You can get it.
Maybe. You know what's in that box?
I think so.
Or why don't I turn it over to the police?
That's my job. Like I told you, I'm Big Ben's daughter.
Yeah, lady. You convinced Spandy. Well, I called homicide, and Anderson and Pinelli handled it. We all wound up downtown. It didn't take them long to find out that the gun Spandy used on me was the same one that killed Big Ben. Dora gave Anderson her story. He said it would take some fixing, but he could keep her out of the papers. It was justifiable homicide. She wouldn't even be indicted, but they had to hold her overnight. Well, it was almost daylight when I pulled to a stop in front of my apartment. I was beginning to feel a little better, but it didn't last long. When I walked into my place, it looked like the L.A. Dons had been having a scrimmage. Every corner had been gone over. Oh, it didn't make sense. Benda was dead, Spandy was dead, Dora King was downtown, but somebody still wanted that key. Well, I crawled into what was left of my bed and set the alarm for 9:30. I didn't sleep much. I kept seeing keys and faces and $80,000 bills. At 10 o'clock the next morning, Granite 3408 was still sitting behind the same desk near the same safety deposit vault. She gave me the same look.
I waited for you to call last night.
I spent the nickel.
On a doctor?
I'd like to get into my box.
All right, Mr. Bender, sign here.
All right. There you are.
This way.
Looks like part of the new freeway.
1 thing about a vault, it's quiet.
So's a tomb.
We're alone.
Yeah.
Well?
All right, sunshine, open your eyes. My box number is 60B.
That can wait, I can't.
Easy, baby, you'll set off the alarm.
You and I can make a great team, Benda.
Now, you know my name's not Benda.
What is it?
Regan.
You and I can make a great team, Regan.
Is that what you told Al Spandy?
Why bring up a dead issue?
What's your deal?
You got Bender's key, I got the bank's key. You need both of them to open up the box.
It's good so far. Go on.
Well, there's $80,000 there. Let's not let it go to waste.
Big Ben waited 7 years to open that box. Look what happened to him.
I waited just as long as Ben. And 7 years is harder on a girl.
How'd you work it?
Ben and I had a great plan. I was the cashier Ben heisted. Only I just gave him a bag full of paper. The real dough's in his box.
Well, that's the safest way. Keep your money in a bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it cooled off, both of you go in and pick up the dough together.
That's the way it was supposed to work, only Ben was dumb enough to get himself picked up and tucked away for 7 years.
Oh, you made real good partners. Nobody trusted anybody.
I trust you.
That why you went through my place looking for the key last night?
Girl's got to use her head. Besides, you might have been home.
Ben and Spandy are dead.
We don't have to worry about either of them. The money's still here. We got the keys that'll open the box. Can you add that?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
About 20 years.
What do you mean?
That bonding company will see that you get the full load for grand larceny.
You wouldn't turn me in.
Don't make book on that.
You and I'd make a great team, Regan. We can't lose.
That's what USC thought. Well, I called Anderson and Pinelli, and they came out and picked her up. I rode down as far as the office with him. That wrapped it up. When I told the lion what had happened, he was as happy as a college boy in a harem. He got on the phone right away and called up Imperial Bonding, told him to make out that reward check for 5 G's to Anthony J. Lyon. But he was real good about it. He took me for a ride in his new Nash convertible. Well, I guess he deserved it. He was really the patsy that had done all the heavy work ever since he bailed me out of jail. Because that's when I slipped Bender's key in his pocket.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. Jeff Regan, Investigator, written by E. Jack Newman and Larry Roman, produced by Sterling Tracy, is heard each week at this time over CBS. Tonight's cast included Ken Christie, Yvonne Patey, Marvin Miller, Paul Fries, and June Martell. If you are a graduate registered nurse, please listen carefully to this important message. 29,000 nurses are needed to join the new Army Nurse Corps Officers Reserve. All nurses who receive reserve commissions will benefit from the opportunity for specialized training offered to them by the Army. Inactive reserve status will not interfere with a nurse's civilian life, but the educational opportunities offered her by the Army Medical Department will be of great advantage. For further information, drop a card to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. Original music for this program is by Dick Arant. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hello, Yukon 28209. Yes, this is Candy Matson.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Candy Matson, Yukon 28209.
Candy! Candy, over here!
What? Why, Myra Fisher, what are you doing here in a department store with your work clothes on?
I work here, dear. I'm a wage slave.
Well, I must say on you, it looks good. What do you slave at?
I'm head of advertising and promotion.
Well, quite a spot, hey, girl?
Well, it was until this morning.
Oh?
Now my neck is in the fire.
What'd you do? Forget to proofread one of your ads?
Nothing so trivial, dear, believe me. But am I glad to have bumped into you?
Maybe you'll change your mind when I tell you I've been shoplifting.
No, I'm serious, Candy. Could you spare a moment and come on up to my office?
Why, sure. And wipe that frown from off your brow. It's wrinkling your makeup.
Well, yours would wrinkle, too, if you had a missing Santa Claus helper on your hands.
Well, well, now, there's a situation. And it almost broke Candy Matson's heart when someone told her there was no Santa Claus's helper, one Jack Frost. Listen, here she is now to tell you about it.
That's right, what the man said. I ran into a deal where we had a missing Santa Claus helper, Jack Frost. The gent with the icicles was supposed to talk to the tiny tots at the Brownstone, one of San Francisco's larger and classier department stores. I'd gone down there that afternoon shopping. I wanted a bow tie for my old pal Inspector Ray Mallard of the San Francisco Police Department. A bow tie that lit up and spelled Cossack when you pressed the button on the battery. That was when I bumped into this gal, Myra Fisher. We went up to her office on the sixth floor and she sat me down. Cigaretted me, too.
You think I'm fooling about this Jack Frost thing, don't you, Candy?
Well, now, look, dear, we all have our little peccadilloes. Yours just merely happens to be a missing Jack Frost. You'll get over it.
I refrain from hurling this ashtray at you, Candy, only because of our long acquaintance.
Good.
Now listen to me. We've had a Santa Claus helper here for almost a month, and a darn good one. The kids were crazy about him. This morning, he didn't show.
You don't suppose Jackie boy got in the mood and caught the Christmas spirit, do you? The kind that comes in pints?
No, he wasn't that sort of Joe.
Well, your answer's simple. Hire a new one.
They're hired through an agency. I called the one we do business with, and they're fresh out of Jack Frost. And I've got to get one, Candy. Otherwise, I come down 10 notches in the opinion of the brass.
I don't want you to think I'm unsympathetic, Myra, but what can I do?
Well, you get around, you know people. Find me somebody. Anybody who'll take over the job of being Jack Frost.
Well, okay. I'll do the best I can, Myra.
Candy, you're a dear.
Yeah, one of Santa's dears. Okay, I'll try and find you a Jack Frost, Myra, but don't hold it against me if he turns out to look more like Humpty Dumpty. I went home and looked up the Webster definition of soft. It said soft, easily yielding to pressure. That was me, Candy Matson, girl dope. Here I had all my Christmas shopping to do, and I agreed to find a substitute Jack Frost. I had no idea where to start. So I changed into something red and green for a stop and go, also for Christmas, and went over to see my friendly advisor, Rembrandt Watson. Rembrandt is a photographer, and excellent, too, now that he doesn't have the sherry shivers or the port palsies. He lives on California Street, just kitten rompers from Old St. Mary's, with a statue of Sun Yat-sen for company in a park next door.
Candy doll, how delightful. Do come in, won't you?
Thanks, Rembrandt.
Oh, Pet, you're acquainted with my friend Diogenes Murphy, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Hello again, Mr. Murphy.
Well, good afternoon, lass. You look prettier than you did the last time I saw you.
Uh-oh, here comes the blarney.
Young lady, Diogenes Murphy, the honest Irishman, never says a word he doesn't mean. Now, how do you think I managed to sell so many used cars at my place out on Venice Avenue?
Because you're an honest Irishman.
Oh, you're so right, lass. Incidentally, if you need a good car, I can get you one at a very reasonable...
Diogenes?
Oh, sorry, I got carried away.
I didn't mean to barge in on you like this, Rembrandt.
Well, don't be ridiculous, dear.
No, don't be. Think nothing of it, lad. I'm on my way now. Rembrandt and I were only discussing the situation of the world.
And to what conclusion did you come?
It stinks. The bottom of the afternoon to the both of you.
Oh, he's quite a boy.
Yes, I'm very fond of Diogenes. What brings you around this way, dear?
Jack Frost.
Yes. Now, getting on with our conversation, what brings you around this way, dear?
Jack Frost.
Maybe the needle's bad. Shall we try again?
I know how you feel. I reacted the same way myself. I'll give you the pocket-sized edition. The Brownstone department store is without a Santa Claus helper, Jack Frost. He didn't show up for work this morning. I said I'd find him a new one.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Dove.
Very dumb of me, Dove. I know of only one character who even remotely looks like Jack Frost. I met him up in Alaska when I was traveling with the USO.
Won't do you much good down here, will it?
No. That's why I came to see you, Rembrandt. Don't you keep a cross file on models you've used in photography?
As a matter of fact, I do. Here in this little book. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Men, thin, extremely. I have just one, Pietro Tarantello. Would you care for a Sicilian Jack Frost?
In Sicily, yes. Hey, what's that?
Where?
On that chair next to you.
Oh, that's the afternoon paper, dear. Diogenes left it, I imagine.
Yes, but on the front page. Here's the whole story about the missing Jack Frost on the front page. Ooh, what he got in his Christmas stocking. A slug through the head.
That's no way to treat Jack Frost.
And here's a picture of the guy without his false icicles.
What the ham? Looks like he stepped right out of an 1890 Shakespearean play.
I hate to say this, Rembrandt, but he resembles you.
I take back what I said.
Rembrandt!
Divorce yourself from that tone of voice, Candy. I don't like it.
Rembrandt, I've got an idea.
You usually do.
You like little children.
Can't stand them.
You like to talk to people.
I abhor conversation.
You like to be charming.
Lost me charm.
Gay.
Lost me gay.
With the help of a few icicles, Ducky, you're going to be Jack Frost. Rembrandt fought, he argued, he paced the floor, he had the vapors, he fainted. I brought him too. I won the argument. I got my friend Myra Fisher on the phone and informed her that one R. Watson would assume the role of Jolly Jack Frost on the morrow. She was delighted. I couldn't say the same for Rembrandt. Then I went home. I was greeted by a sound very much like that of a phone ringing. Using my keen instincts, I figured it was the phone. It was. Hello, Candy Matson.
How do you do, Miss Matson? Allow me to introduce myself.
Allowed.
My name is Burke, Prentice Burke. I'm the first assistant vice president of the Brownstone.
Brownstone? Yes, that's a store of some kind, isn't it?
Yes. Now, the reason for my call. There has been, shall I say, a rather unfortunate occurrence in our store today.
So I read.
I need the help of a professional sleuth. You were highly recommended by the head of our advertising department, Miss Myra Fisher.
Uh-huh. The thick plotting.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, no need to. You didn't do anything. Okay, care to talk to me now, Mr. Burke?
I'd much rather have you come down to my office, Miss Batson. This matter is of an extremely confidential nature.
I'm your girl, then, figuratively speaking. How long will you be there?
As long as necessary. That's up to you.
Very well, I'll be there in half an hour, if I can find a place to park. I only had time for a fast change, so I made it from indiscreet to taboo. I sniffed at it and felt I was on the right scent. Then I climbed in my car, drove down Kearney Street, waved a crisp single under the nose of a hotel doorman, and had my car taken care of. Then into the Brownstone and up to Mr. Prentice Burke's office. I flipped a hip past the girl secretary and walked on in. Burke was waiting for me, that was obvious. I could tell by the expression on his face. It was worried look number 12B. How do you do, Mr. Burke? I'm Candy Matson.
Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. Now, our subject is what?
A man named Jordan.
That's on another network.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, that's all right. Now, about this Jordan.
Ralph Jordan, to be exact.
Well, that's a relief. For a moment, I thought you wanted to talk about Jack Frost.
That's just it. He was Jack Frost.
Uh-oh. Me and my big mouth.
He was working here up until yesterday afternoon. Maybe you read about it. He was found shot today.
Yes, I read about it.
That's the reason I've called you.
Why didn't you have your own store detectives take over, Mr. Burke?
No. That would never do. I want no one in the store to know what's going on.
Ah, intrigue.
Quite possibly. I have reason to suspect that Jordan was killed by someone in our employ. I want to find out who that someone was before the police do and get it splashed all over the front pages.
Publicity, can't you say?
Business has been off all year, and any bad breaks in the press would hurt us that much more.
Maybe you've got a point there, I don't know.
I know I have.
Okay, I'll take the job. You say you have a suspicion. What is it?
Well, nothing tangible. It's just a feeling I have.
Oh, that's a big help. Well, I'll mush around and see what I can pick up. I'll bill you tomorrow for my first day's work. It's much easier to sustain a friendship on a daily basis. I left Burke looking as though someone had just called his store a bazaar. It was closing time, so I hefted my way through the crush and retrieved my car from the doorman. The Hall of Justice is right on my way home, so I decided to drop in on my old pal Mallard, Inspector Ray Mallard of San Francisco Homicide. A nice guy to serve coffee to on Sunday mornings if you could ever lasso him. I never could get strong enough rope.
Candy, what brings you around here?
I hate to have my Christmas ruined so early. What about that Jack Frost character?
Oh, yeah. Poor guy got it good.
Where'd you find him?
In his apartment over on 17th. He lived near Seal Stadium. Why so interested, Candy?
Rembrandt's a dead ringer for the guy.
I still don't get
the gal who's head of advertising for the Brownstone was going out of her head for another Jack Frost. I talked Rembrandt into taking the job.
Oh,
does sound funny, doesn't it? Bring me up to date, Mallory. Did you get any dope on the killing?
Nothing but a .45 slug out of the guy's wall. Ballistics is checking it now.
Nothing else?
If I did, I should tell you.
No, I guess not.
This goes beyond just a normal curiosity, Candy. What are you drilling for?
Oh, it's only that I'm worried about Rembrandt. I got him the job. I'm responsible. I wouldn't want anything to happen to him.
Ask a silly question, Mallard, and you get a silly answer. Okay, let's forget it. How's about dinner tonight?
I've fought this thing long enough. Okay.
Candy.
Yes, Mallard.
We've known each other a good long time, haven't we?
That's right. Ever since the fair on Treasure Island.
We've had our little quarrels, little misunderstandings.
Oh, but they never seem to last long, though, do they?
No. That's why I feel I have every right to ask you a question.
Wait, yes, I'd say you do, Mallard.
Maybe I'll ask you tonight.
No, go ahead. Now's as good a time as any.
Perhaps it is, Candy. You get around a lot. You meet people. Do you know where I can get a couple of tickets to the Rose Bowl game?
My brain lit up like a Roman candle. I stormed for the door, turned back, stood there, my jaw waggling helplessly. Then I stuck my tongue out at Mallard and left. It was the only thing I could think of doing. Oh, he can make me so mad. But inside half an hour after I got home, I started to laugh. Felt much better. Just as I was puttering around getting ready, the apartment buzzer buzzed. That Mallard, much too early. But I was wrong. It wasn't Mallard. Well, Myra, what a surprise. Do come in, won't you?
No, thanks, Candy. A friend of mine's waiting in his car outside. He's driving me home.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can't stay for a moment?
So, my dear, I just dropped by to leave this. Merely a little token of thanks for getting me off the hook.
Oh, Myra, there wasn't any need to do that.
Just a few pair of old stockings, dear. Getting me my new Jack Frost means more than you know. Here, please take them, along with my very deepest thanks.
Thanks so much. A girl can always use them. Are you all set with my friend, Mr. Watson?
Oh, yes. He came in this afternoon and filled out his withholding tax and so on. Very nice.
I think you'll find him very efficient, Myra.
Oh,
what's the matter?
Pardon me. I didn't mean to frighten you.
Oh, Mallard.
Silly of me. I must have jumped a foot.
Oh, that's all right. He frightens me, too. Myra, I'd like to have you meet Inspector Mallard. Inspector, Miss Fisher.
How do you do?
Oh, fine, thank you, now that I've caught my breath. Do forgive me, Candy, but I must rush. See you soon, I hope.
Tomorrow, Myra. I'll be down to see how my lad's doing as Jack Frost. Thanks for the stocking.
Well, Aren't you going to invite me in?
No, I'm not. Here's my coat right here. What's our hurry? Come on, let's go. I'm starved.
I thought we could have a cocktail here before we left.
You thought wrong. 2 tickets to the Rose Bowl. From now on, you earn your cocktails, Mallard. We went downstairs, and as I locked the front door, a car was just driving off. It was Myra, and she waved. And driving, if these tired old eyes hadn't deceived me, was Mr. Prentice Burke, vice president of the Brownstone. Well. Oh, well. Mallard and I climbed into our car and drove out to the Cliff House. It was that kind of an evening. We had dinner, and after, I suggested we walk a bit. The night was crisp and clear, and the evening star was hanging out above the dark waters of the Pacific like an iridescent Japanese lantern. We cut across a little road above Sutro Baths, where an old car barn had once stood, and worked our way over the cliffs and stood high above Land's End. It was exhilarating.
Penny for your thoughts, Candy.
Inflation is still here.
All right, make it 2 pennies.
Well, I was just thinking, Mallard, dear. When you see a star in the sky, soft water below, feel Christmas in the air, how can there be violence in the world?
An age-old question, pal. One I can't answer. I'm too small. Hey, you're cold. I'd better put my arm around you.
Mallard, no.
What's the matter?
The headlights from that automobile are shining right down on us. Mallard.
Candy, what's wrong?
Got your flashlight with you?
Sure. Also, my gun and my handcuffs. Anything else we need? A mortar, maybe?
The lights from that car. They shone on something. Down there, under that tree.
Oh, Candy, just for once, can't you stop digging up a mystery? Be human?
I am being human. Come on, Mallard. I want to see what's under that tree. We scrambled around through the brush, slipped into some sliding sand, and rode the crest down to the tree. It wasn't easy to get around some of those brambles, but get there I fully intended doing, because what I saw was red, bright red.
You okay, Candy?
Nothing that a new pair of nylons won't fix. Shoot the flashlight over this way a bit, Mallard. There. That's it. Now, do you think I'm dreaming things up?
What is it?
Wait till I hold it up.
Wow. Looks like some kind of a costume.
Right. And look, if those aren't bloodstains, I'm a Labrador Retriever.
No, you're Candy Matson. Those are bloodstains.
How was your boy dressed when you found him?
Torn slacks, sweater, shoes, no socks.
This was most likely his costume, then.
Yeah. Don't move around too much, Candy. I want to have a good look at the ground.
Hey, what are you doing down there?
Who's that?
The police. Now get up here and don't try any tricks.
That's all right, officer. This is Inspector Mallard, homicide.
Oh, sorry, Inspector.
That's all right. Stay right where you are. We'll be right up.
Now, this is a break, Candy. I want you to drive me to a phone. I'll leave the officer here to guard the place. You can go home. I've got work to do here, okay?
Yeah, sure. For once, we had dinner before you had a chance to break the date. This baby was hard to reconstruct. Was the guy knocked off out there at Land's End, or was he bumped off at his apartment, the killer driving way out to the beach and hiding the costume? Only time would tell. I went home, climbed into bed, and logged about 8 hours, enough to give me fuel for the next day. In the morning, I went down to the Brownstone. The shoppers were already swarming through the place. I spotted a floor walker and strolled over to him. Pardon me, sir. I said, pardon me, sir.
I'm very busy, young lady. Make it as brief as possible.
You do work here, don't you?
Of course.
You are the floor walker assigned to this section?
That is correct. Come to the point, please.
Well, I've a good mind to report you.
As you wish. As I said, I'm very busy. Now, what is it you wanted to know?
The words are like gall in my mouth now, but where do I find Jack Frost?
Right over there, in the back, 2 aisles over.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Very much. All the high-handed characters, people like that make me steam. I was getting up a full head of dander, but it simmered out before I had a chance to boil over. Because as I rounded a corner, I saw Frosty Boy, or Rembrandt if you choose, up on his platform with the cutest little blonde kid sitting in his lap.
Well, well, well. Look who we have here. A great big boy. Hello there, son.
Hello, Jack Frost.
What is your name?
Topper.
Topper. My, what a fine name. How old are you, Topper?
5 and a half.
5 and a half. Well, you must go to school, Topper. Which one?
Garfield.
Garfield. That's a good school. Now, tell me, what would you like to have me tell Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas, Topper?
An electric train and a baseball bat, and I'd like to be in the seals for Lefty O'Doul.
Well, I'll see what I can do to arrange that, Topper. I'll tell Santa Claus. Bye now.
Goodbye, and thank you, and Merry Christmas.
I hope you can make the boy's wish come true. O'Doul could use him.
Candy, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Doug. Duck around into the back room for a moment. I've got to talk to you.
Aren't you working, Frosty Boy?
I got 10 minutes off every hour. I'll take the break now. Right around there, Candy.
Okay. I'll see you in a moment. What's the matter, Rembrandt? Even under those icicles, you look warm under the collar.
Here, look at this. Every now and then, one of these Moppets toddles up to me with a Christmas letter in its hand. A little red-headed girl handed me this about half an hour ago. I've been shaking ever since.
Let me see. Dear Jack Frost, a word to the wise is sufficient. When you take your lunch hour, keep on going. Don't come back. Otherwise, you'll meet the same fate as your predecessor. Just about what I expected.
Candy, you mean to say that you're deliberately using me as a sacrificial lamb?
By no means, Ducky. Go ahead, take your lunch. Then do as the note says. Keep on going. As a matter of fact, why don't you take off now? I'll meet you at your place in about an hour.
That's the best news I've heard since Nelson's victory at Trafalgar.
I whipped upstairs, reported to Prentice Burke, got my first day's check, and on my way out told his secretary she better get Burke some smelling salts. Then I went back down on the floor again. Sure enough, there was my boy, the floor walker. I wanted to have a few more words with him.
Oh, you again.
If you don't mind. I was just up to see Miss Myra Fisher. She wasn't in. Have you seen her down here?
No, and what's more, I won't see her all day. She phoned saying she was feeling ill. Most inconsiderate, I must say, during the holiday rush.
Yes, I must say. Could you give me her address? She's a friend of mine. I've got to see her.
Her address? Why, yes. I write it down here on one of my cards for you. Myra Fisher, 227F, Union Street. There.
Thank you. You're so kind. I had all the ammunition I wanted. A check signed by Burke and a card written by the floor walker. His name was Simon Liggett. With that, I ducked into a phone booth and called Mallard.
Homicide, Mallard speaking.
Good boy. This is Candy. What did you find out at Land's End last night?
A couple of very juicy footprints. They give us nothing.
Did you make any casts of them?
Why, sure.
Mind if I borrow a couple of them for a few hours, Mallard?
Well, I don't see how it'll hurt. Sure, okay.
Thanks, Mallard, dear. I'll be by in a moment. And I want to borrow you, too. I stopped by the Hall of Justice, got the cast of the footprints, shoved Mallard into the car, and then picked up Rembrandt. The thing was only a hunch, but my hunches have paid off, so I never ignore them. First, we went out to an address on Fifth Avenue near Clement. We got in the back door and went to work. Nothing made sense there. So we drove over to Reseda Way in the marina. Again, we got in and did some sleuthing. This time, we hit the jackpot. A pair of shoes in the closet matched the casts we had brought with us. Rembrandt, go out in the kitchen and see if this place has any ketchup.
I'm not hungry, Dub, but I'll look. What are you up to, Candy? We've got enough to swing a case here.
I'm working for a voluntary confession, Mallard. Tell me, what was the position that the Jack Frost was in when you found him dead?
In a chair, like that one. His head slumped down on his chest.
Good.
Here's the concept, though. What are you putting it on?
You.
What?
Without the bun or relish, Ducky. Sit down there, will you, Rembrandt? Now, just go limp and let your head hang down. That's it. Now for a little seasoning.
Oh, Candy, you're smearing me with this sticky stuff.
And all for the sake of art. Hold still. There. How does he look, Mallard?
Why, all the... Candy, it looks like the same guy, the real thing.
Good. Now, Rembrandt, you just sit like that. Don't move. Mallard, you duck into that closet over there and I'll hide in here. We've got a good view of the front door from both places, okay?
Okay.
There are times, Candy, when I admit I admire your genius.
Genius, schmenius. Come on, let's hide. The golden shafts of sun splashing in through the window from the ocean slowly turned pink, then purple, and into twilight. The minute ticked on. Once... Bless you, but quiet, though, Rembrandt. You'll muss up your ketchup. 5 minutes. 10. Then we heard muffled footsteps coming down the hall and a key inserted in the lock of the apartment door.
The old fool I killed. No, no.
Okay, buddy, that'll be about enough.
Oh, no.
Get him, Mallard. He's ducking.
I'll get him. Oh, no.
Nice tackle, Mallard.
All right, Mac. You're going to remain peaceful, or do I have to give you a little tap?
No, no. I'll be quiet. You got me. I did it. I did it to the both of them. I killed them. I killed them. I killed both of them.
Both of them?
Yeah. Look behind the sofa. The sofa, the girl, Jack Frost, the sofa.
The sofa? Wait a minute, Mallard.
I had to do it. I couldn't. Oh. But then they were going to do it.
Oh, Mallard.
More trouble, Candy?
I killed both of them. Glad I
did. Yes. An old friend of mine. The late Myra Fisher. The whole thing was jealousy. Not the jealousy of a man for a woman, but the jealousy of a man for a job. Simon Liggett had been with the Brownstone for almost 20 years. He'd worked himself up from the stock boy to a place where he'd been promised the job of head of advertising and promotion. He almost got it, except at the last moment, Prentice Burke gave the position to Myra Fisher. That had only been 2 weeks before. He knew that Myra was on a probationary term, so he did everything he could to undermine her. Little things like changing ad copy, sending out false stories to newspapers. He figured that if he could keep the store without a Santa Claus helper, he'd break Myra's back and get the job by the first of the year. He paid a visit to the first Jack Frost and tried to bribe him into quitting, but the guy would have none of it. There was a struggle. Liggett lost his head and whipped out a gun and shot him. He was still in his costume, so Liggett stripped him, put some old clothes on him, drove out to Land's End and ditched his costume. Then he felt sure there would be no Jack Frost the next day. But that's when Myra met me and I talked Rembrandt into taking over. By this time, Liggett was in a frenzy and would stop at nothing. He trailed Myra and Burke to Myra's home, killed her, took her body over to his place, and ditched it behind the sofa. The next morning, he wrote a note to Rembrandt and gave it to one of the little girls waiting in line to see him. Fear and envy were taking their toll on the poor guy's mind. I wanted to compare the handwriting, so I had Burke write me a check and Liggett write Myra's address on a card. Also, we had the footprint cast. Between the two, everything pointed toward Liggett. That's when I staged my little parlor charade with Rembrandt playing the part of a corpse. The sight, with Rembrandt's resemblance to the dead Jack Frost, would shatter anybody into a confession. But Christmas, in spite of everything, is a lovely time of year. And there is a Santa Claus. Three of them for me, as a matter of fact. Mr. Prentice Burke, who sent me a very nice check for my efforts. Rembrandt Watson, who, out of sheer love for the job, went back to playing Jack Frost for all the kids at the Brownstone. And last but not least, Inspector Ray Mallard. He gave me a Christmas sock right on my mouth, just where any well-placed Christmas sock should go.
Listen again next week at this same time. For excitement and adventure, just dial...
Candy Matson, and a Merry Christmas to you all. Yukon 28209.
Heard tonight were Helen Klebe as Myra Fisher, Lou Tobin as Prentice Burke, and John Grover as Simon Liggett. Jack Thomas plays the role of Rembrandt Watson, and Henry Leff is heard as Inspector Mallard. The program stars Natalie Masters as Candy and is written and produced by Monty Masters. Sound effects were created by Bill Brownell and Jay Rendon. Eloise Rowan is heard at the organ.
The characters in tonight's story are entirely fictitious, with the exception of the part of Topper, which was played by himself. Any resemblance to actual people is purely coincidental. The program came to you from San Francisco. Dudley Manlove speaking. You are tuned for the stars on NBC.
That's it for this episode of Case Closed. If you want to hear more from Candy Matson, more from Jeff Regan, more old-time radio, visit relicradio.com. Search for what you're after. You'll also find all the other shows listed there. Links to past episodes, links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and everything else. There's also a donate button if you'd like to help support this show. It's how it's all made possible. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.